Amen. Thank you so very much. And then I miss the Johnsons down here. We're delighted that Brother Nathan, one of our graduates, Grace, a graduate, both of the elementary, junior high, high school, college. They're back home, they're going back to North Carolina. They're serving there. And then Alan, I missed you there. Of course, I can't see you. You're behind the post. And you know, when a Christian sits behind a post, well, I rest my case. Alan is from Tennessee. His father-in-law, Dr. Gagliano, is our dear friend, great church. And is that Alan back there? Okay, go back to sleep, Alan. I can't believe you're a father of three, right? Is that true? We're proud you're here. And I'm sorry I missed you. And I'm certain I missed other people tonight. And I don't mean to, but I'm so grateful that you'd be in God's house. Let's pray. With our heads bowed tonight and our eyes closed, I wonder tonight, before I pray, you'd say, I have a real need in my heart. It might be a physical, a financial, a family, some situation that is beyond you. And I will not see every hand, but God will see every hand. Would you lift it right now, and I'll do my best to see as many as I can. I have a need in my heart, my life, my family. You may put them down. And Father, you know the needs. Some of these, I saw a couple folks, I know the needs. They've talked to me about it. And consequently, I know they've talked to you. But I pray that tonight you would comfort and encourage and cause them to realize that, God, you're their only hope. You're going to give them grace to go through this trial, difficulty. And God, you can remedy the problem as well. And whatever it is, however you choose in your goodness to meet this need, I pray that we trust you at all times. I thank you for the book of Ezekiel, and I thank you for how it speaks to our hearts. This vision that you gave a man, he saw into the future because of the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, I know we can see into the future from the Word of God tonight. No man knows the day, the hour when you'll come again. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, as Ezekiel could see into the future. But I pray that we'd learn and be helped and be convicted and blessed by this tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The ministry of Ezekiel is about to begin. And Ezekiel was a shepherd to the children of God. And tonight I want to introduce chapter 3, a message on the shepherd. I want you to see with me, first of all, the message, the shepherd's message. Every shepherd has a message. Mother, you're a shepherd. Father, you're a shepherd. Sunday school teacher, you're a shepherd. Employer, you're a shepherd. Pastor, you're a shepherd. Bus captain, you're a shepherd. Everyone here shepherds somebody. Older sibling, you're a shepherd to the younger children. School teacher, you're a shepherd. Professor, you're a shepherd. And I want you to see the message. And several thoughts first about the message of the shepherd. The shepherd has no message in himself. He is just relaying the message for another. And notice what the Bible says. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat the roll, and go speak to the house of Israel. This is not your message, Ezekiel. It is God's message. Mother and Dad, this week you have an awesome, wonderful responsibility to take God's message and impart it into your home. May it be said that in every night as your children pillow their head on their bed this week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that have a mother and or a dad or both that will go to their room and have prayer with them, or gather the family together and have prayer. We pray for our family every night together. And we think of our family. One is down in Southern California with 5 grandkids, and one is down in Arizona with 4 grandkids, and one is right here with 4 grandkids. We pray for them through the night that God would give safety to their lives. I'm sorry, probably my fault. I probably hit something there, but whatever. That was probably my pacemaker going off, I guess. I don't have one, but I got one now. I tell you, that scared me. Never mind. My message is not my own. And you know that tonight, a shepherd does not bring his own message. This is such a love letter to the family. This is such a love letter to the bus kids. Oh, I can hardly wait for that day. Brother Luke talked about when we have, just in 2 weeks, the special bus day. Oh, what a thrill that will be to have parents here and children here and teenagers here, and we'll take the message, the Word of God. Oh, what a great day. April 1st will be with Easter Sunday to bring the message, not the Treber message, not the church message, but God's message. And I want you to see that the message, a shepherd has no message. He is just the container. He is just the channel. But not only do I see that, the shepherd must feed himself before he feeds others. Do you see that there? There's a role. There's this scroll, and it's a strange thing. God says, I want you to eat the roll. And I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the roll. I don't understand all that. And it seems very odd, as it seems odd that he says, I want you to lay on your one side for 430 days and your other side. That is so strange. But isn't it amazing? Ezekiel just obeyed God. And hear the word of God. He said, I want you to eat this roll. The word of God is bread to the soul. And oh, how we ought to feed. We talk about feed on the word of God. Where are you reading with your Bible? This week, if you're in the Bible reading program, if I'm not mistaken, it's Deuteronomy chapter 32, 33, 34. And then you pick it up in Judges. We're finally leaving Moses, and we're moving on over here to Joshua chapter 1 through chapter 16. And Moses was bringing up to Canaan, and Joshua was going to take him into Canaan. It's just such a wonderful read. Are you reading your Bible? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. Nourishment. Friend, if you're not growing in grace, we're not reading the Bible. God's word is manna to the soul. And if we're not careful, we'll preach to others, and ourselves will become a castaway. We've never fed on the precious word of God. I tell you, my wife and I find ourselves, just two of us at home, and we find ourselves talking more in this point in our lives than ever before. What you're getting out of the Bible, what I'm getting out of the Bible, what God is showing me and what God is showing her through the Word of God. And I'm amazed sometimes. I think she'd be a good preacher. I'll tell you that. She gets so many good thoughts, but if I preached them, she would know that I gave her outline away. Thank God for the word of God. It is manna to the soul. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. The great evangelist Lester Roloff, he didn't realize at age 68 he was going to take off and in his little plane go down and crash in a field in Texas and die 30 years ago. But I can recall Lester Roloff saying this, and my, what a mighty preacher. He preached every single day, and he preached in those homes for the girls. They had about 700 girls, if I'm not mistaken, the homes for the men and the homes for the boys. And he had all these properties down in Texas in different cities, and he'd preach to them. He had a runway on the property, and it was just an amazing thing. He'd preach to them. They gave him no books but the Bible. And he would get from the court systems all over the United States the incorrigible kids, where the courts could not do anything, and they'd send them to him, and he'd preach the Word of God, and he'd teach the Word of God, and he'd have them memorize the Word of God. Many of those are out serving God now. But he said, as I get older, and I had a great library, Lester Roloff was a great student of the Word of God. He was a short man, about this tall, bald-headed fella. He was a wiry guy, real thin. He would move around. And Lester Roloff said, as I get older in my life, and he was only 68 when he died, I heard him about age 60 say this in Santa Maria, California. He was preaching, I'll never forget, at a school chapel. And he said, as I get older, I'm giving my books away. And I just get up at 4:30 every day and read my Bible. And I start preaching what I read about in the morning and at evening and in the services. And on the radio, I preach all. I used to listen to them on the FM dial here about 8 o'clock on a weeknight and hear Lester Roloff preach to us. I have a wonderful library, and I use it. I built it through the years, and I use it. But I tell you, I'm finding the older I get, I just love this book right here. I read this book. I study this book. And God gives me nourishment to my soul. It's bread for the believer, he says in the Gospel of John. But not only is the message of the shepherd not his own, but another. And the shepherd must feed himself first. But I want you to see that the Word brings sweetness in a bitter world. Did you see that? He said, verse 2, I opened my mouth and it caused me to eat that roll. And he said to me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then, here it is, then did I eat it. He just obeyed, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Psalm 119. Verse 10, God's word is sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Oh, when I was a boy, just not very far from here, many, many years ago, I would imagine this had to be 60 years ago plus, I can hear us singing in our church, and I can hear my mother and dad singing, God's word is sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Oh, God's word is sweeter than honey. And God says tonight to the shepherd, you have a message to give. It's not your own message. And it's the message from the Word of God. And it's a message of sweetness in a bitter world. This world is filled with bitterness. Bitterness. Children bitter at their parents. Parents bitter at the children, mates bitter with one another. The greatest thing you can do is get the Word of God. And this will put sweetness. If you're a cantankerous crank, it's an evidence you're not in the Word of God. Can't get along with people at church, at home, at work, at school. It's not, well, we got to change that school. We got to change this home. We got to change my wife. Got to change my husband. No, we've got to change our life and get into the Word of God, because it's like sweetness. You take this Word of God and it becomes sweet to the soul. I find first tonight the shepherd's message. I find secondly that the message of the shepherd goes to those he loves. The message goes to those that he loves. Look at verse number 6. He said to me, son of man, go get thee to the house of Israel. You've taken the Word of God. You've taken the sweetness of the Word of God. I've told you to eat my roll, eat my Bible, eat the Word, bring it in, consume it. And now go to the house of Israel. Speak with my words unto them. You young boys, we're not done. Stay right there. We're not, but I want to say, you young men that leave out of here to preach, you don't have to have a lot of illustrations. Have the Bible. Preach the Bible, my words unto them. That's where there's power, in the Word of God. It's sharp, sharper than a two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12, and he says, for thou art, watch this now, read verse 5 together, shall we? Powerful verse. Ready? Begin. For thou art not sent to a people of strange speech. He said, I want you to go to those people that I love. Shepherd, do you love them? Oh, yes. Ezekiel loved them. I want you to go to the house of Israel. Look at verse 6. Not to many people of strange speech, out of a hard language, those words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened. But I send thee to the house of Israel. The shepherd's message, it goes to your Sunday school class. My wife and I love our class. We love our class. We just long to be in that class. We look forward to it all week. Don't you love your class? Don't you love your bus route? I know you do. I do know you do. Your bus route. Don't you love, Brother Eliu, working with the choir? I know you do. You work with God's people that sing the praises of God. Don't you love serving God? Serving people of God. Did not we love this week working in a cafeteria, serving hundreds and hundreds and thousands of meals to the saints of God, the servants of God? Wasn't it a privilege? You sure acted like it was. You sure demonstrate it like it must be a fun thing, a great thing to serve God's men and God's ladies and even these little children. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What a privilege. And he said, I'm not sending you. Yes, one day, yes, we go out to the heathen. But with this message, he goes, I want you to start with my people. I want you to start with this message with your family. You know, we used to call it family devotions, and that's still a name that we use, and there's books in our bookstores about family devotions. We called it family Bible time, and I say it all the time. I know I wasn't very good at family Bible time. I know that. I worked at it. I'd get up in the morning early, and I'd say, well, tonight, and we start in the book of Psalms, and we work our way through the Psalms, or the book of Proverbs, and I'd pull out a verse or two that we would read many of them. Then I'd say, I want to focus on this, kids. And it wasn't long, maybe 15 minutes, sometimes 10. And I'd focus on that, or focus on Old Testament Bible stories or New Testament, and we'd sing songs, and not normally courses. We sang hymns in our family Bible time. And sometimes my wife would play the piano, and we had prayer, and it wasn't everybody praying. It was this one or my wife. And you know, Brother Steve Brown, it wasn't the best. Tabitha and Tiffany and Tim, they don't like it when I say it wasn't good, but I tried. It wasn't as good as my dad. Oh, my dad and mother, they had the Bible time, the old daily bread. And I can hear my mother. I can hear her reading the text or reading the scripture. And I can hear my dad. And we'd sing together. That was great. But mine was never good, but I tried. And I'd say this. Our kids knew that dad and mom loved them. And we would have that Bible time. And we didn't have it on Sunday night. We were maybe wrong. And we didn't have it on Wednesday night. We were maybe wrong. But I didn't want my kids, you know, they're living with the preacher. And I feel like I'm just shoving it always. And I don't mean that to sound disrespectful when I said that. I didn't want to just feel like I was just constantly, you can't breathe. It's the Bible. Can't play basketball. And we played every sport every day. We had a good time on the driveway there. But I don't regret reading the Bible with our kids. And some men are different. They'd get their home kids late. They were out of a July 4th, and they'd get home at 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, and they'd wake their little kids up in the car, and I know of stories like that, and they might have been right. They said, we are going to have family Bible time. I never did that. I wanted to go to bed. And I think they did too. Maybe I was wrong, but we always had prayer. I remember that we got home late. Every Sunday night we had prayer. Every Wednesday night. And if we were gone somewhere and it got late, always have prayer with them. You see, these are my sheep. I'm their shepherd. I'm their dad. None of our grandkids live away from us, can't do anything for them. I can't touch them. I can't see their faces. But I tell you what, their names every single day will come before the throne of grace. As they're in school, as five of our grandkids still are not born again, they're still too young to understand it. And as one is now starting to drive a car, it's hard to believe. And they grow up so fast. You know, the Bible says, I want you to go, Brother David Russ, to the youth, and Sister Jen, to the youth of the North Valley Baptist Church. Oh, I wish you could have seen them on Tuesday morning as they filled these stairs and sang like a choir that was sent from God from heaven above. It was wonderful to watch those kids stand up there, arrogant, no, proud, no. They loved God. I could see it all over them. What a blessing. God sent that couple to those that they love and their pastor and his wife love. Don't you love your mate? Tonight, if you have been wrong toward your mate and callous toward your mate and critical of your mate, I'd say just humble yourself. And so, well, if I humble myself, will she, will he? That's not humble. That's negotiation. Humility is say, would you please forgive me? Would you please forgive me? I love you so very much. I know it's going to sound sadistic. I don't mean it to be wrong. But there's hardly a day goes by that I don't think about one of us one day is going to precede the other one in death. And as one precedes the other, and if for some reason God chooses to take my wife first, I don't want to have regrets. I want to know that that lady knew that I prayed for her and I loved her. Oh, sometimes I'm so self-willed and independent. You know how we get. I'm going to have to crawl back. Oh, for a man, that's hard to do. And my wife always lets me. And I said, I was wrong. She'll say, I know you were. No, she won't say that. I want you to see, not only does the shepherd have a message, and the shepherd has a message to those he loves, but the shepherd's message is often rejected. That's a hard pill to swallow. We'll see it in the scripture, but when you have children and they reject your message, it's sort of like what God said in Isaiah chapter 5 about this well-beloved, how they had a vineyard and he fenced it. He cleaned it. He took care of the vineyard. And the vineyard no longer wanted to be under the control of the master. And he cries out, what more could have I done for my vineyard? And I think sometimes there's parents like that. You kept your kids in a Christian school, in a Christian environment. And somewhere along the line, some have chosen, I don't want to live for God. I want you kids to know this, that a mother and dad, that they love you and they tried to do it right. And when we reject parents' direction, it is a 24-hour-a-day wound. And I want you parents to know, when your children have been, even as adults, trying to get, I want my dad, I want my mother just to love me. Just to think, that's my son, that's my daughter. Mothers and dads, some have to come back and say, I was wrong. Both my parents are now home with the Lord, but I tell you what, they used to sit right there, right about where the Slys are sitting. Right where, Brother Wayne, right about where you're sitting. And I want to talk to you about parking that F-O-R-D out here tonight. I saw it. You park like a woman tonight, my brother. It's all crooked. You say, well, you're attacking women? Of course I do. You know what I think about women. They're the best. Slow down, you folks that are visiting. I'm not attacking women. Just, I'm going to talk to you afterwards, Brother Wayne, about if you got a Chevy, you might be able to pull in straight next time. I'm getting him, Debbie. I thank you, Lord, for him. I saw that on the way in tonight, and I'm glad I did. You know how sad it is when you don't express to your kids how much you love them. My mother and dad would sit right there. I'd say things like this, what I said about my family devotion time, or I'd say I want to be a good pastor. I'm not saying I'm the best. All my mother would say, now son, don't say that again. You are the best. I miss hearing that. You know, the message is sometimes rejected by your school, your Sunday school class, and by your bus route. And here in verse number 7, the house of Israel will not hearken to thee. It's rejected. They don't want it. They will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel imputed and hard-hearted. And behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than a flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at thy looks, though they be a rebellious house. It hurts, doesn't it, parents? It hurts, doesn't it, children, when there's a rejection from parents, when there's a rejection from children, when there's a rejection from the Word of God in Sunday school, when a student doesn't want it, when somebody says, I don't want to ride the bus anymore, that hurts. But the message still, the shepherd still has a message, and they may choose to reject. We've had one, Brother Luke, you said it, almost now one point in 42 years, 1.4 million riders. Where are they all? Well, many have rejected. Many have rejected. But there's also many that have gone on for God. Your brother, the Claudius Nars, texted me the nicest note yesterday morning on my phone. He said, Pastor, thank you for that day. It's about 40 years ago, you knocked on our door at 666 Johanna Avenue. And you told us about the North Valley Baptist Church. I saw at this great funeral we had the other day for this sweet young father. I saw about 80 family members. And as we had the viewing, I looked and I said to one of them, I said, almost the vast majority of these people here got saved at the North Valley Baptist Church. Not all, but many. I tell you, to see them go on for God, what a thrill, what a blessing. But not all are going to receive the message from the shepherd quickly. Let me begin to wrap it up. Number 4, not only does the shepherd have a message, and the shepherd's message goes to those he loves, and the shepherd's message is often rejected, but the shepherd's message must be empowered. Mother and dad, you cannot change the heart of a child, but God can. Notice what the empowering is in verse number 12. Then the Spirit took me up. I heard behind me a voice of great rushing say, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. Look at verse 14. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. And I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. I want you to see number 5. The shepherd must be patient with his message. Mothers, that's where you're so good. Mothers generally can be so patient. Oh, thank God for mothers. Sometimes we as men perhaps are impatient, but thank God for a mother and thank God for a dad who's patient and will use the two ears instead of the one mouth and would listen to his children. I want you to see the shepherd must be patient with that message. Verse 15, and I came to them of the captivity of Tel Aviv, and I dwelt by the river Chebar, and I, here it is, sat where they sat, and I remained there astonished with them 7 days. You're sitting there for 7 days not talking. I just sat with them. I just sat with them. And a shepherd must be patient with his message. We must sit where they sit. We must be concerned for them. We just can't always force everything. And we're going to have to be patient as the Spirit of God speaks to our heart, and we wake up through the night and pray for this family or this situation or this relative or this husband or this wife or this class or this bus or this school class. And oh, how we need to be patient. Patient. I'm working on a message. I don't know when I'll preach at elementary, high school, college, or this church, but we just need to listen to people. I watch on a weekly basis how you'll go someplace and you'll order a cup of coffee or you order something and people don't listen. The other day I was at a place and just got a little tiny piece of pumpkin bread and a little piece of coffee, and they had 6 mistakes in the transaction. How do you have 6 mistakes in one transaction for 2 things? They weren't listening. They weren't listening. And how often we don't listen to that wife, or we don't listen to that husband, or we don't listen to those children, or we don't listen to mom and dad. And Ezekiel said, I'm just going to sit. God's given you employees. Listen to them. Listen to them. They bring a problem to you, or they bring a situation to you in the business or whatever. Listen to them. Don't formulate the answer. I read a book years ago, when you're listening to someone, don't try to come up with the answer. Listen and get all the information. Just listen and listen. And I found that if you listen long enough, they'll generally tell you what the answer is. I close. And number 6, you've been so patient with me tonight. The shepherd's message and its reception is up to the recipient. I can warn, you can warn our mates, our children, our schools, our classrooms, our Sunday school classes, our bus routes, we can warn, but it comes down, the reception is up to the recipient. Notice verse 17. Son of man, I've made thee a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. You see, it's our job to warn, but we can only warn, and the recipient has to figure out what they're going to do with the message. And your child's going to have to figure that out, and your mate is going to have to figure that out, and your class, and on it goes. But we're a shepherd. So I review. A shepherd never brings his own message. And the shepherd's message is based on the word of God, which is sweeter than honey. And the shepherd gives the message to those that he loves. And I challenge you to love the recipients this week of your message. And the shepherd tonight, he's often rejected. She's often rejected. And the shepherd tonight has to have the spirit to empower the message. And the shepherd needs to always be patient. And the shepherd must realize that the recipient is responsible for the reception of the message. Let's stand together, shall we, please? Our Father, these people are the greatest in all the world.